Thank you for downloading the Pawnee Bill Ranch podcast, brought to you by the staff of the Pawnee Bill Ranch.
Welcome to the Pawnee Bill Ranch podcast. I'm Erin Brown, Pawnee Bill Ranch curator.
And I'm Anna Davis, Pawnee Bill Ranch historical interpreter. Do you hear that spooky music playing, Erin? The air is turning a little crisper each day, the leaves are changing color, and the ranch staff's favorite time of year is here. Halloween!
Yes, we love Halloween around here. It's always one of the big events here at the ranch and also in the town of Pawnee. So we thought it would be fun to talk a little bit about some of the spooky things here at the ranch. Our topic today is one that's a little eerie, but it's definitely one of the fan favorites for anybody that visits the ranch. No tour through the mansion is complete without a visit from our resident ghost. And he's not just any old ghost either. He's been in Pawnee Bill's mansion for over 80 years, and he comes out to greet every tourist, whether you get a chance to see him or not. It's been said he's the most reliable ghost in Oklahoma. Of course, no big old house is complete without a good old ghost story.
Legend has it, shortly after 1936, a maid was coming up the main staircase of Pawnee Bill's mansion and noticed something rather odd in the painting at the head of the stairs. What had been a woodland scene of two men hunting in a canoe was suddenly covered with the silhouette of a man. As the viewer moved from one side of the upper level to the other, the silhouette of the man simply disappeared.
Pawnee Bill was a showman, and he understood the importance of a good story. From the time that he became aware that there was an image that appeared in this painting, he would say that it was a certain individual, in fact, a really good friend of his. But I think we'll save that for a little later in our podcast.
Yeah, we don't want to give away too much too soon. But what about the painting itself? It's long been rumored that the silhouette was done on purpose. Some have called it a trick painting, while others have claimed that the ghostly image simply appeared one day. And while there's no concrete explanation, we do know the history behind the artist himself. His name was Hal Morrison, and his life is nearly as unusual as the painting itself.
Hal Alexander Courtney Morrison was born on Prince Edward Island, Canada, on March 12, 1848. While there is no definitive biography of his life, we do know that he attended Harvard Medical School as a young man and studied to be a surgeon. After his time at Harvard, he worked as a member of the medical staff of the Intercontinental Railroad.
When asked of his time at the railroad, Morrison would remark, "I did nothing but paint and fish, and finally abandoned my profession entirely to rove the world and paint what pleased me." It would be these woodland scenes like fish and ducks and scenes of country life that would mark much of his career. After becoming dissatisfied with his career at the railroad, he quit working for them and decided to take himself on a little adventure.
It sounds so exciting. For the next 7 years after he left the railroad, Morrison traveled Europe and studied fine art in Paris. During this time, he became an avid hunter and fisherman, even took up the hobby of taxidermy to preserve the specimens of fish and wild game he caught, and he used these as models for his later work. He studied oil painting and watercolors at the European School of Art and found himself enjoying the life of an artist far more than he ever enjoyed being a surgeon.
And I can tell you through my art history class, you learn that sometimes these surgeons make way better artists than other
sure.
people because they understand how
anatomy
works and animals work and things like that. Morrison's budding style was referred to as trompe l'oeil, which means deceiving the eye in French. The art technique involves using a realistic image to create an optical illusion. The artist uses forced perception to trick the viewer into seeing a three-dimensional image. Now, that's complicated, but the best way to explain this art form is to think back on the old Roadrunner cartoons, where Wile E. Coyote would paint a tunnel on a rock wall to trick the Roadrunner into smashing into the wall.
By 1882, Morrison had moved to the Atlanta, Georgia area because of an undisclosed medical illness. Some sources state that he was suffering from tuberculosis, and the weather of Georgia was better for his condition than the cooler climates of Europe. While in the city of Atlanta, Morrison set up a studio that would become well-respected throughout the city. He would teach students in both oil and watercolor, and he became one of the city's most respected artists. In 1884, Morrison married his wife Henrietta, and they had two sons, Hal and Montford.
Now, Morrison was well known for his wildlife portraits, which were usually of game birds and various fish. His paintings heavily featured various states of nature as well, such as trees, rivers, flowers. I think we even have a jungle type scene in our collection. The love of nature was also fed by his other love, which was hunting. Many of the animals featured in his paintings were animals that he had personally caught and prepared. He was also an extensive traveler. Morrison spent much of his year traveling from place to place in search of tepid climates. His illness made it difficult for him to live in a place that had too hot of a summer and too cold of a winter.
He spent many of his later years in Florida until he was forced to move back to Atlanta in the 1920s to live permanently because of his declining health. He sought care at the Davis Fisher Sanatorium, and sadly, he succumbed to his illness on September 30th, 1927. We have multiple paintings throughout Pawneeville's mansion by Hal Morrison, and it's obvious that the Lilly family really appreciated his particular artistic style. From the magnolia still life in May's bedroom to the portraits of Pawneeville and May that grace the front entrance, Morrison's paintings are an important part of our collection.
Right, and none are more important than our ghost painting. It's probably the most famous painting that we have in our mansion.
That's true.
Now, the ghost itself was not intentionally added to the painting, as far as we know. From all accounts, the painting of the two men in the canoe was perfectly normal when it was hung in the mansion in the 1920s, and there's no reason why Morrison would have added the image to it at that time.
It wasn't something he was known for.
Yeah. It wasn't until the death of a famous cowboy entertainer that the silhouette got its now famous story.
Right. Remember back to the beginning of our podcast when we said that Pawneeville would always swear that the image that appeared in the painting was none other than Will Rogers. Will Rogers passed away on August 15th, 1935 in a plane crash in Point Barrow, Alaska. Pawneeville would swear until the day that he died that the image that appeared in his painting was none other than his good friend Will.
And the image really looks Will Rogers. The silhouette is wearing a long duster coat. He's got a cowboy hat on. He kind of has this slouch stance, which if you've seen many photographs of Will Rogers during his lifetime, he kind of took that stance when he was having his picture taken. And it's right across the way from the Will Rogers room in the upper level of the mansion. And I think we've even had some Will Rogers relatives come through the house saying, yeah, it does definitely look like him.
Yes. But the painting was painted far before he died. So it wasn't intentionally, you know, Will Rogers' ghost put in the painting. The truth is, we really don't know how the ghost appeared or who it's supposed to be, but there's probably a really logical explanation, the most likely being that Morrison simply reused an old canvas, and the subject underneath, a mystery subject, is kind of shining through in a certain angle. That's not as exciting as Will Rogers personally greeting our mansion visitors,
though. No, and most mansion visitors want to believe that it is
our ghost. If, you know, it's one of the things that everybody remembers when they leave the house.
It's the one ghost story that we get to talk about.
That's right.
Now, one of the most common questions that we get asked when taking people on tours through the mansion is whether the house is haunted. I think I get asked that more than where's the bathroom. They read things on the internet or even in books about our mansion, and it kind of piques their curiosity. So what better time to address the issue of ghosts at the Pawneeville Ranch than during our Halloween podcast?
Yes, we're going to kind of switch gears here and talk a little bit about how we personally feel about ghosts and spirits in general and the stories we've heard from people who've worked here in the past. Obviously, we can't prove or disprove the presence of ghosts, so we are veering away from our usual perspective of historical accuracy to personal experiences.
Now, I guess I'm a person who believes in ghosts. I like to watch ghost shows on television, and there's a lot of them out there. I mean, there's probably a dozen shows on television right now, and since it's coming up on Halloween, there's even more. But I guess it's because of this plethora of television shows about hauntings or these ghost clubs that are popping up everywhere. Uh-huh. That people are just really interested in the idea of spirits still hanging around the ranch, and they really want to know how we as a staff feel. We field questions about ghosts from paranormal investigators about doing investigations here at the ranch probably about once a month.
It's true. They call all the time. I can say that we have had a couple of paranormal investigative groups do investigations in the mansion with all of their technical equipment. And I honestly have not been a fan of the process. I did not like it. I was present for each of them, and each group detected, of course they find things, they detected some kind of spirit activity, and both groups sensed a very negative force in the same room of the mansion on two different occasions. In fact, one of the groups refused to get their equipment back out of the room because they said the energy in that room was adamant that they not return. So my husband Ronnie had to go in and retrieve their belongings. We have never had a group back, and we probably won't in the future after that.
Now, what these people didn't know that we did at the time was that someone, a relative of Pawnee Bill, had actually died in that particular room. You know, it's a house that's over 100 years old. It has had deaths that have occurred there. Mm-hmm. The death in that particular room was an elderly woman who was crushed when the ceiling fell on her. And because we knew this, and because we knew about the other deaths in the mansion, we were left feeling very uneasy. And we never wanted to put ourselves in that position again.
Yeah, like I said before, I didn't feel good about these groups. And I feel really silly saying this, but I feel like the ranch was mad at me after that. I felt sort of embarrassed, like I had let the place down by opening it up to that kind of exposure. You know, otherwise, I've never had a negative experience with the ranch or the house. Everyone knows that I live here and my family lives here, so I couldn't really function if I thought that the place was haunted. You know, another thing that happens is that we have psychics that come here, or psychic groups, and I've also accompanied several of those different groups, and you know, they almost all say the same things about the house and the feelings that they get. And to be honest, it just makes me feel weird, like I am betraying Pawnee Bill and May and their family. And on another note, every single psychic that has come through the house has told me that the spirits respect me and they won't do anything to disturb or scare me because they like me and they know my intentions are good. I've had another person tell me that my spirit is closed, so I'm not open to receive, you know, messages from the dead. Make of that what you will.
I think it's one of the oddest parts of our job. About every couple of weeks, you get somebody who senses something in the house, and they want to tell you about it on your tour, right. And it's just very odd to be put in that kind of position. But I think what is important is that we do respect the house and the lives that Pawnee Bill and May and Billy lived, and we don't want to cheapen them in any way by saying that they still haunt us. If they are still there, we want them to be happy with the job that we're doing, and we don't want to upset them by bringing in Ghostbusters. That being said, almost every person that has ever worked here has had an experience that can't be explained. People, and not crazy people either.
Regular, normal people.
Just doing their job. Have seen people in mirrors, have felt someone brush by them, have seen movement out of the corner of their eye, lights coming on and off, artifacts being moved, hair mysteriously appearing in combs, cold spots in the house, and general just uneasiness. Kind of like someone's watching you. Mm-hmm. One of the most common things that I know of, I've experienced, is the sound of footsteps coming from inside the mansion when you know you're the only one in there, or voices when you know you're the only one on the park. I'm sure all of that can easily be explained because, again, it is a very old house, but when you hear it at the time, it's a very unsettling feeling. And we have actually had several employees working at the ranch who have refused to be alone in the house.
It's true. I'm not one of them, though. I actually love the mansion. I like to be alone in there. I think I get a really happy feeling while I'm in there. I think it's just a really lovely place to be. And I think what I can say is that the house does kind of have moods, and it's kind of hard to explain if you haven't worked here before, but we sort of think of it as a living being in a way, and we do respect it.
I know some of the staff will say that people are going to think they're crazy if they walk in because we talk to the house. Mm-hmm. We say good morning, we say good evening, but we talk to it just like it is a living being. But I fully agree with what you're saying. And after a big group has been through the house, it would not be uncommon for us to say that the house is not going to be happy. It has its little moods. It can be happy, it can be sad, it can be just neutral, like you just don't feel anything at all. And it's nothing that we can explain, really, other than just a feeling that we get. But Erin, I know that you have said that people have also referred to your house as being haunted.
Yes. Now, I live in what was originally Pawnee Bill's garage, or his carriage house. It was a bunkhouse for the cowboys on the ranch. It was remodeled to be a manager's residence in the late 1960s. And I've heard all kinds of stories about weird things happening in my house, like people being pinned to their beds by unseen forces, other people actually seeing ghost-like figures. I can say I've seen or experienced nothing like that. I've had people who stay with us say that they think the house is haunted, though. I just laugh it off. If I have ghosts, I just say they like me. I like them. We get along. We're friends. We're on good terms.
Yeah, and I know that there's other buildings on the site that also have kind of spooky stories attached to them. And there's also a lot of urban legends here in Pawnee itself. I know my mom always used to tell me stories about the deer lady haunting her house, which is a Native American legend. I've heard the museum has a resident ghost in it, which I've never seen. I've heard that one of the cases is supposedly haunted, which I've never had experience with that. There's supposed to be...
There is a case that I will not go in. I can say that.
And there's also been stories about people or images being seen walking around the ranch at night, which again is I've never seen before, but that's what I've always heard. But the bottom line is that we are dedicated to doing the best thing for the Pawneeville Ranch. And as historians, it is our duty to interpret not only the happy things in life, but also really difficult subjects like dying and death. The best way to do that is with tact and factual information. We feel that it's in the best interest of both the site and the employees not to do paranormal investigations because they really don't add anything to our ongoing mission. Proving that Pawneeville's ghost is in the house is not going to add anything to your experience here. And I really like to put it this way when tourists ask about ghosts in the house. I say that this is Pawneeville and May's house. These are their things. We are just taking care of it for them. So even if they are still around, they're happy with the job that we do.
We hope this answers some of your questions about paranormal activity at the site. Thank you for joining us for our Halloween-themed podcast. We are working on a couple of great topics for upcoming podcasts, including one on Pawneeville and May's son, Billy, and also one on the Judy family. And there are some really good stories involved just in that family. And the Judy family inherited the ranch after Pawneeville died. These are shaping up to be some really fun and interesting episodes. But if you have any suggestions for future podcasts, please feel free to share them with us on our Facebook page under Pawneeville Ranch and Museum. We also want to take this time to remind our listeners that on October 26th, one of our favorite events is taking place at the ranch. Our ghost story tours will be from 6:30 to 9. We have really great storytellers in different rooms of the mansion telling ghost stories. So it's a really fun time to see the mansion as you have never seen it before because it's really creepily decorated and lit entirely by jack-o'-lanterns. So call us at 918-762-2513. Only children 9 and up, please. As always, I'm Erin Brown, Pawneeville Ranch Curator.
And I'm Anna Davis, Pawneeville Ranch Historical Interpreter. We are going to leave you today with a poem by the great Gothic poet Edgar Allan Poe, which is one of the authors featured in Pawneeville's library in the mansion. And as always, we thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. Spirits of the Dead by Edgar Allan Poe. Thy soul shall find itself alone mid dark thoughts of the gray tombstone, not one of all the crowd to pry into thine hour of secrecy. Be silent in that solitude, which is not loneliness, for then the spirits of the dead who stood in life before thee are again in death around thee, and their will shall overshadow thee. Be still. The night, though clear, shall frown, and the stars shall not look down from their high thrones in the heaven with light like hope to mortals given, but their red orbs, without beam, to thy weariness shall seem as a burning and a fever which would cling to thee forever. Now our thoughts thou shalt not banish, now our visions ne'er to vanish. From thy spirit shall they pass, no more like dewdrop from the grass. The breeze, the breath of God is still, and the mist upon the hill, shadowy, shadowy, yet unbroken, is a symbol and a token. How it hangs upon the trees, a mystery
of Mysteries. The Pawneeville Ranch is owned and operated by the Oklahoma Historical Society. For more information, go to www.pawneevilleranch.com or find us on Facebook under Pawneeville Ranch and Museum.